Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city, covering a lot of ground, touching a lot of bases.
Touching a lot
not
of
inappropriately.
Stuff. I have a question for you.
I'm not even getting into what y'all were talking about with that whole back and forth earlier.
What's that?
When you kept subliminally leaving messages while I was talking about stories.
Oh.
I'm not following, but okay.
Packages and Nick and okay.
Who's a better quarterback, Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson?
I mean, just personal opinion. I think I would take Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, in my opinion.
Here's what's crazy, and I agree with you guys, and I think that's the answer. But when you look at what they both did this year, Dak Prescott had a much better year
yeah.
than Deshaun Watson did. And are we just not being fair to Dak is why I bring it up. Because when you look at touchdowns, it was 30-26, less interceptions, more passing yards, a higher QB rating. He was sacked half as much, more 40-plus yard passes downfield, more 20-yard passes downfield. I mean, everything Dak did as a quarterback, other than, and I would have to look up rushing yards, but everything Dak did as a quarterback was better than Deshaun Watson from a statistical perspective.
I'll give you a stat that matters. Wins.
In a pass, in a run first Dallas Cowboys offense, and he was still able to put those things
up.
They
didn't run first like they said. Like, you can say that on paper that that's what they are, but they did not do that. How many times were we talking after Cowboy games of they gave Zeke the ball in the first quarter and they went away from it, or they got behind? That's the other thing. When you talk about the yards and even the touchdowns, in a lot of cases, they were playing from behind most of the game, which meant you go to complete pass mode and your numbers are bound to go up. But it's because of the fact that you dug a hole.
That's not Dak's fault.
Well, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but I'm saying that that's why the numbers can be skewed when you're comparing two different guys. And the fact that Deshaun got more wins, and
I'm pretty sure you can Google some stats in Deshaun. I'm not of the belief that if you had a better year, statistically speaking, means you had a better year. So
I mean, I think Deshaun Watson is the more dynamic quarterback. Obviously, he's the bigger,
and he means more to the team.
He makes sexier plays. You know what I mean? Like the getting out of the sacks and all that stuff, getting poked in the eye and all those beautiful things and the runs and all that. But the whole reason I asked that is, were we unfair to Dak? Because we talked about the fact that, is he a franchise QB? Is he that level? Is he this? He was, you know, I mean.
But the other thing too, Barry, is anybody can have a year.
And touchdown passes?
Anybody can have a year. But can you do it for a career? If you're a franchise right now and you're starting your franchise, which of the two guys do you want to build your franchise around as a franchise legitimate quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I think, I in my mind at least, I won't put words in your mouth, but in my mind,
yeah.
I had downgraded Dak to, I mean, he's a middle-tiered quarterback. And we talked about the fact that do you pay him the big money? And we said you don't. And were we unfair to Dak? I mean, the dude threw 30 touchdowns this year. Three guys threw more touchdown passes than Dak Prescott this year.
As we've also said in terms of
money.
And one
of them had 30 interceptions, so I'm not even going to count Jameis Winston. Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson had 36 and 31 respectively. Dak was third, and then you talk about the passing
yards. He had a hell of a year, but here's the thing. We also talk about the fact that you're also a victim of circumstance, and circumstances sometimes can be good. So the fact that Matt Stafford at one point was the highest quarterback paid in the NFL, whether or not you believe that he's in that category or he's good enough and deserves it, when your contract comes up at the right time and you've at least performed at a high level, you're getting it regardless. So I'm not trying to keep the guy from getting paid. I am saying, though, when you were looking at comparative numbers and guys that kind of are in the same breath, it's more of a Carson Wentz in him than it would be the top-tier quarterbacks in the league, although I know their offense was number one in the league. Mm-hmm. His numbers were close to one in the league across the board, as you mentioned. But if you're telling me that I'm starting a franchise and the guy that I believe is going to get me wins over a longer period of time and do more things, it's Deshaun Watson.
I'm with you. And the question was a setup to the discussion of were we unfair to Dak. Obviously, I think Deshaun Watson is the more dynamic playmaker and better quarterback. But at the end of the day, dude, Dak Prescott had a hell of a year.
Oh, no-
he elevated his game from last year to this year and even his first 3 years to this year. I feel like, and I'm just maybe I'm speaking from my own guilt. I feel like I maybe slept on Dak Prescott and what he does.
I'll tell you what, look,
or
at,
did.
At the very minimum, you know that a lot of teams are viewing him as a better quarterback than the one that they have
what
starting
they have.
Right now.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So that right there increases his value like automatically. And that's why I think you're right. I probably would have put Dak somewhere in the middle of the pack, maybe like 14, 15. I'm not going to lie to you. And this is with me not Googling anything or not looking anything up. So
one guy threw more yards than him this year, Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Two guys threw for more touchdowns. I mean, it's he had a really badass year, and we don't talk about it. Jameis Winston got more run, I feel like, than Dak Prescott did. And I think overall,
more publicity than they needed all year.
But it was in a bad way, and it was Jason Garrett's fault, and it was underperforming. But everybody underperformed except Dak Prescott.
He got a lot of attention, too, because he wanted 40 a year.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
here's another way to look at it, though, okay? So you asked me a question. Let me okay. flip it on you.
Okay.
Who would perform better if they switched teams? If you had Deshaun in front of the Cowboys offensive line with Zeke behind him, still with Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb and the receivers that he had.
He still got Jason Garrett at head coach at that time.
Who's his play caller?
Well, but Kellen Moore was the play caller, and they were the number one offense in football.
Yeah.
So switch them, and who has a better year?
I think Deshaun, I hate to say it, I think Deshaun might make this Cowboys team way, like, I think that team would be dangerous.
There's no doubt in my mind.
It would be so dangerous.
As good as Deshaun Watson is, Bill O'Brien, I think, is limiting his ceiling because of the way he runs games and calls plays and the stuff that he does.
Because your point at Jason Garrett is a good one, although Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator. Yeah. But it pissed me off. It brings up something that pissed me off this weekend when Channel 2 was in Kansas City and they were comparing barbecue between Houston and Kansas City. And one guy goes, I know our quarterback's better. Well, I'll tell you what. There's another question to ask yourself. If Deshaun was in Kansas City with Andy Reid instead of Bill O'Brien, and he had all the weapons that the Chiefs had, I believe that Deshaun could be what Patrick Mahomes was when he won MVP and done the things that he's done.
Do you think the same thing about Dak?
I don't.
And somebody made the point on the text, and I mentioned the stats. Downfield passing? You think Deshaun's kind of lucky in a way that he's got DeAndre Hopkins.
But his long ball is really good.
Yeah, but he goes Johnny Manziel-esque back in A&M days with Mike Evans, where sometimes he'll just throw it into a crowd and he gets lucky. There are plenty of interceptions that were left on the field that Deshaun Watson should have had.
So you're saying
that he didn't have
both those guys.
I'm saying Dak Prescott downfield, I feel like, might be a better passer, a deep ball passer. Than Deshaun Watson.
I don't think
and
so.
And I think if you put Dak Prescott in Andy Reid's offense with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all those weapons, then he could put up just the same numbers or similar numbers that Deshaun Watson and Mahomes do.
He's not as mobile.
Yeah, well, he's not going to rush for
but
his
I'm
man.
Saying that's part of the dynamic of Mahomes and especially of Deshaun that gives you that extra element. I just don't see – I think Deshaun, Will Fuller, that's the reason why when Will Fuller's healthy, they're a totally different team because the long balls that Deshaun throws his way, they're not overthrown or underthrown or in a bad spot or just thrown up there. Will Fuller's not the guy that's going to go up and get it for you. We've already criticized his hands from the time he came into the league, but boy, I'll tell you what, it would be in a lot of ways, that would be an interesting way to look at it too, would be like put all those guys in different scenarios. Could they excel and be the same or better?
Yeah, you put Mahomes under Bill O'Brien and how good is he?
Jeez, be running for his life.
I know Bill O'Brien's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. He kind of seems like he'd be the quarterback killer.
Look at his guys. I can't believe he even got that moniker.
Yeah.
I mean, New England, that situation was just like pure crack for guys' careers, for other people looking at their careers, because the fact that he even got that moniker in the first place, because what? Because remember, he got into a knockdown, drag out argument on the sidelines with Brady.
Yeah.
Man.
I saw that.
Tom Brady made him look good.
If Matt Cassel is the feather in your cap, how'd that work out?
Somebody said, somebody brings a good point about including Dak in this. Well, I say it's a good point. Somebody said, well, don't forget Dak was a fourth round pick and he's in this conversation.
That's big.
Yeah. And that's big. And then somebody said, did Barry smoke crack before the show? It's a discussion.
Right. It's the same way when we got into it earlier on something else. It's just the way the show's supposed to go.
Thank you for ignoring the fact that I said Deshaun Watson was the more dynamic quarterback, and obviously I think he's better. But the point was is that I think I slept on Dak. Thank you for ignoring that and smoking your crack and not listening.
Well, the good news is that we know now that Jeff Luhnow will never have another job and that Deshaun Watson is head and shoulders better than Dak Prescott. We figured that stuff out as we roll on with the third hour of the show.
Some of y'all need to listen better.
What? Going to argue with that. All right, final hour of the show is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So Nick and I were talking in the break as we were talking about...
Great.
Sports in general, fines.
Great.
Breaking type news. Our man Shams Charania, just tweeted out.
At this point, I think I've confused myself, so it doesn't matter.
Why is it not Charania?
I've never heard it pronounced like that.
What is it?
That's fine. Charania is close. Charania, I think it's Shams Charania, but I could be incorrect.
That's how I've always heard it.
I've heard it as Shams Charania.
That way when you tried it a few weeks back, so just slow your
roll. Roll your R.
Shams Charania.
I got some. Pistons guard Derrick Rose has been fined $25,000 for
getting hurt,
throwing a pen in the stands.
Dang, threw a pen in the stands.
Can he at least keep the pen? That's an expense. Dang, $25,000.
Why does he have a pen in the first place?
Yeah,
was he throwing it at a fan? Maybe he was in Utah. Was he playing in Utah?
Throw a ball. I get it. You're throwing a pen. Good question, Nick. Where did it occur?
Yeah, was it from the scorer's table and he was walking by and he's like, "Well, Dag Blabbit," and just threw the pen out. I'm sure he didn't say Dag Blabbit. No one says that anymore. I'm going to bring it back. I'm bringing back Dag Blabbit. I think that's going to be my new go-to curse word.
Cut and shoot will appreciate it.
I will tell you this. For as much as you got on us when we told you about how productive Dwight Howard has been.
Yeah. Oh, because he's so great.
One of the other
guys great, according
that
to
has
you guys.
Been very, very, very productive is one Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose is having a hell of a year, really under the radar for a bad team in Detroit. By the trade deadline, Derrick Rose could help somebody.
Yeah.
He's playing his ass off. And it's good to see because he's healthy. It's never been about the fact that he couldn't do it. He just hasn't been healthy enough to do it, and now he is doing it. So good for him.
Why am I seeing headlines that say DeAndre Jordan is the NBA's $40 million best friend? Why am I seeing – is he worth that kind of money?
I don't know.
In the era of
– I do not know, Ed. That is wild and wacky stuff. I do not know.
Would you pay him that? I mean, is he just for a guy that blocks shots and dunks?
No, I think.
I mean, I guess that's why Capella.
Did you
didn't
read
get
the article,
that, right?
Or is it like one of mine where I put the article out there with a headline, link and no
just,
one checks
I just,
it?
No, I just went to the NBA on ESPN, and that's the headline. That's the main
I would
story.
Bet what that is
that they're like, and then there was a quote that I saw on the side that says DeAndre Jordan says big men still matter in the NBA. Yeah, if you can shoot a three.
I would say what I would have assumed that meant is that he's the best babysitter in the world for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the guys making the most money, because that's a genuine possibility. Kyrie came back, and they were actually playing better ball when he was out. But he came back, made 10 of 11 shots, had 21 points, got him a win, and actually handled everything correctly and didn't tell you that the earth was flat or any kind of stupid crap or get ticked off about who gave him big money. So maybe they are headed in the right direction, because a year from now, we're going to be talking a lot all season long about the Brooklyn Nets. Good bet. It's kind of like the Cowboys. It's going to be can KD and Kyrie coexist? And do they have enough talent? And are they fighting and bickering or winning and losing? And that's going to, and again, in the market that they're in New York, whether you like it or not, that's going to be something we talk about pretty consistently.
Yep. I think so. It's because it's KD, and it'll, you know.
Yeah, because he's a whiny little bitch.
He moves the needle, so.
God, he moves a lot of things, like his thumb's on Twitter too much.
By the way, that Derrick Rose fine was from the Pelicans game last night, and it went into overtime, so I'm pretty
Where
sure.
Where was it played?
In Detroit.
Oh, so it was a home game, and he threw it in the stands.
They lost by 7 in overtime to the Pelicans, so things probably got heated last night. I didn't see the game, obviously, but.
Speaking of getting heated, it got a little heated on Twitter between Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And Lance McCullers.
And one of his rotation mates who
Clevenger
probably didn't think it through before he got involved.
Y'all gotta read the tweets.
So we know Trevor Bauer is as Fred would say, a D-weed. He's a D-something every day.
Yeah.
And so he has not shied away from, ever since all of this controversy came out with cheating, of taking shots at the Astros and Bregman and everybody, and then replaying, you know, putting gifts of home runs he gave up to Bregman and other things. And he got into it again last night, to which someone, whether they tagged Lance McCullers or Lance McCullers just saw it, but then Lance McCullers clapped back and they started getting into it, to which Mike Clevenger then decided to participate. And it was entertaining, because I got to tell you, P. Randizzle gave me the heads up. And I wasn't doing a whole lot but watching the football game. At halftime, I decided to read all the different back and forths. It was entertaining.
Bauer definitely mentioned Lance first.
Yeah, he starts off, it's a couple of wavy emojis, and it tags Lance McCullers and says, Happy New Year, bro. That was 22 hours ago. So that was basically
timing.
Right after
the announcement.
And then Clevenger takes it a step further and puts three snowflakes, to which McCullers replies and says, rent-free, I don't even know this cat. And then he put some snowflakes, basically saying he's living in his dome rent-free. Mm-hmm. Now there's a deleted tweet that I don't see. It says, this account owner limits who can view their tweets, so I don't see that. But McCullers responds, damn, Bauer outage, drop that book of God again, quote, for the homie. They start going at it, and it you know, the back and forth, I'm trying to find where the...
Well, the mother...
So Trevor Bauer says, we don't know each other yet. You speak on me as if you know me. And I guess talking about a tweet from the past. I don't know. It got a little crazy.
Well, because then the mother.
Friend, I think it's a friend of a mother.
Or the friend of the mother of the side piece of Clevenger decides to tweet how he had this chick believing that she was the one and they were in a house. Not just the chick, but the chick, evidently the mother and the chick, were in a house and then were forced to move out when they found out he was married. And that's when McCullers saw that and was like, oh, wait a minute.
So McCullers had put the damn Bauer, drop that book of God again, quote for the homie Mike Anthony, which is Mike Clevenger. And Clevenger quote tweeted it and put, yeah, drop your ERA first and speak another word about something you have no idea about. And we can be talking in person. Now you want to fight. Now he's saying, let's fight. Come on, bro. You can't get into a back and forth. And then when you get got, be like, oh, see me in person. No. It's just a war of words on Twitter, Clevenger. You
lost. It was entertainment for a night that didn't have a lot going on besides the national championship
game. Well, so much for the idea that, well, who was doing the videos on SportsMap about a trade for Clevenger to the Astros? That ain't happening. Yeah.
That was a whole big video.
That was like with the Bauer thing, you know, at one point. Could Bauer be traded to the Astros? Well, I'll tell you right now, after that, I doubt Mike Clevenger's ever an Astro as long as Lance McCullers is here.
Yeah.
Or Bauer, for that matter.
Yeah, unless McCullers, I'm not even going to say it. If he has issues, which is a big problem. If he has more health issues.
Oh, yeah, that's
then
true.
They might have to consider something. But they need a general manager to make any moves, so everything's safe right now.
Yeah, they're good.
Until they find someone that's going to be. And again, when we talk about the Astros, that's the one thing that from a... We talked about all the different angles Crane was coming from. But in the process of doing everything that he did, whether you like it or not, he also at least guaranteed that the team will have someone running their baseball operations this year instead of a makeshift operation. And whether before he got fired, we were even saying, you know, Luno was going to be involved, whether they publicly said it or not. Now you can hire a guy so that you don't. It's so vital to have someone every single day with call-ups and injury list and everything that you do, and the fact that they're still looking for starters and relief pitchers and other, and maybe even a catcher. They need someone.
Yeah, they need to get on it. I suspect within a week we will have some decisions made by Jim Crane. I don't think he can wait much longer. He even mentioned the fact that, what, mid-February, pitchers and catchers are going to report?
It was a month as of yesterday, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I thought it was February 19, but maybe it's February 13 or whatever. Okay. Yeah. Time to get busy. You don't have much time. So.
And unless Maldonado's your everyday catcher.
Well, it's.
There's one issue there.
Probably is going to be the case.
The artist formerly known as Luno said they were focused on starting pitching. Unless Austin Pruitt is the answer.
Austin Pruitt's not the answer.
Then they're still focused on
starting
pitching.
Somebody brought up an interesting question, and I'll ask it, and when we can discuss it on the other side, what happens with Stromme in all this?
We'll talk about that next. Yeah. We've got a half hour to go on the show, 30 minutes on the clock, starting with more Astros talk. This time, maybe more positive? All right. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So, what was it? War game? Want to play a game?
Oh, God. I love you, Nick.
You wanted to...
Huh?
You wanted to have a little...
A discussion! Yeah. Somebody asked this yesterday on the text line, and it made a lot of sense.
It's an oxymoron. Yeah, text line and made a lot of sense?
We didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday, but it does... I think it warrants a discussion.
Okay.
What happens with Brent Strom and all this? He is a key component to what the Astros do from a pitching perspective, and... You know, he was an A.J. Hinch guy, and he was, you know, Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch brought him in. What's going to happen here? One, do you think is it crazy that they look at him to be anything other than the pitching coach?
I don't think he wants
outside of Joe Espada. And, yeah, and I would agree with that, too, health-wise or whatever. But does he stick around, or is he like, oh, you know what, I'm done.
I think the whole thing is dependent on who they hire. I think if it's Joe Espada, he stays.
Okay.
I think if it's a guy that he's had a positive relationship, he's been in baseball a long time. So I don't know if he knows or doesn't know and has worked or not with Dusty Baker, Buck Showalter, or whoever they would bring in. But that I think it's all dependent upon that.
As long as he's been around, I would imagine he knows those guys.
You would think. But I think that also any guy coming in would basically be like you were saying with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense. There's a reason why Mike McCarthy came in and said, Kellen Moore, you can stay as offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to argue with the numbers you put up, and you know the personnel. So if I'm coming into the Astros situation,
that's the one guy
I'm
not messing with.
The one thing I'm not going to do is rock that boat.
Right. No, I'm with you. 1,000% with you. But it is going to be interesting to see within this organization what happens with him. He's the, you know, he's the behind the scenes unsung hero guy. Him and the crew that goes and gets all the video of the spin rate and because there is a whole plethora of baseball dorks that get all that spin rate stuff and go to Brent Strom, and they all sit in a room and they talk about strategy, and they'll sit the pitcher down and they'll show them videos, they'll show them slides, they show charts, and they're like, this is why you need to throw this more. You're gonna throw this in the situations. And it's not just Brent Strom, but he's the main guy.
One of my buddies was the pitching video coordinator, and his job was from charting pitches. Remember, we used to see and say that whoever's pitching the next game sits there and charts
every
pitch.
Correct, in the dugout and charts.
They do it now in the video room, and they sit with the pitching video coordinator, and they chart every pitch. And then the next step that they do is the video department has set up whether it's their last start or mechanical things and the lineup they're going to be facing. And then they go through all of that. So you're right. It's so detailed. But I'll give you two storylines that would be super interesting if, God forbid, he wasn't with the Astros anymore.
Okay.
One you just got done talking about last segment. Can you imagine Brent Strom with the Cleveland Indians?
Oh, boy.
Trevor Bauer?
Well, he's a Red now.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
So Cincinnati Reds, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting if he went and pitched. Yeah. If he
the
was
other
his pitching
one,
coach.
And don't put it past them, because they already did this one time and got your best pitcher. But the Yankees fired their pitching longtime pitching coach at the end of last year under Aaron Boone. You don't think no matter who they hired or are thinking about hiring or haven't hired yet that they go, pad the brakes.
Right.
Why don't we get Garrett's guy? Why don't we go get old Strami to be with the Yanks?
Boy.
You talk about chapping some ass in Houston.
I hate to even think about that.
Seriously.
Brent Strom is the Yankees pitching coach? That makes me want to vomit.
Man, I'm that telling you what. That's why I threw it out there. That would be painful.
You just gave me heartburn.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be awful. That doesn't... I hope he retires before he goes to the dark side.
Yeah, and to your point, Lance does a hell of a imitation that he always does when talking about Brent Strom.
Oh, he does?
He's always about, yeah, I don't have time for that.
Is Strom a grumpy guy?
He portrays him to be. I've never met him so I can speak on it. But I know that, you know, obviously he doesn't like the media, he doesn't like the limelight, doesn't want to be involved in all that stuff.
Right.
So I don't see that for that very reason. That's why I would never see him being the manager.
Okay.
He's got enough to worry about with what he does.
Sure.
He's obviously got a phenomenal reputation what he does.
But, you know, he's in a position where he could be like, hey, if you don't make me the manager, I'm leaving.
Or pay
me. If he wanted to do
or
that.
Pay
yeah,
me
or
like
pay me,
one.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. His reputation is so outstanding
but
right
I don't,
now.
I don't know. I just threw that out there. I don't know one way or the other whether he would have any desire to be a manager. Or
well,
he just as happy being a pitching
I'll tell you
coach.
What's a big factor. Does he have an agent? Because if he's got an agent, because, you know, old school guys normally just said, pay me what you're going to pay me and let me do my job. But if he had an agent, just like what we said with Stefanski with the Browns in Cleveland, going, because of the crap storm that this place has been for so many years, you got to give me a minimum of 5 years at this price. If he has an agent, you better believe that one of the discussions happening behind the scenes is his agent picking up the phone going, hey, Jim Crane, I know you don't have a GM I can call, but I'm calling you.
Yeah.
The one guy you could really not afford to lose right now is my guy.
It's funny. He's 71. If they brought in Dusty Baker, who's 70.
Oh, boy.
Goodness gracious.
The AARP club.
Man, they would have the oldest coaching staff in
baseball.
They
would have Chew, Gum, and Geritol sitting right there on the bench.
They'd have a cooler of Gatorade, and they'd have a cooler of Metamucil.
Yep.
It would be two like...
You know how they used to say during the steroid era that there were big tubs of all that stuff sitting right there in the locker room? There'd also be some Metamucil, and I'm sure in the morning maybe a good tomato juice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a V8.
Yeah, a V8 or something that'll tighten them right up.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's the... One of the most valuable guys right now in that organization, not being a player.
Yep.
It's got to be him.
I guess he's just, I Googled it real quick just to see had he ever been in discussions. I'm on his wiki page. I don't see anything ever listed about managers, so maybe that's just never a thing he wanted to do. Maybe he's just always been a pitching coach. But
and the other thing you got to consider in all this, too, is how many coaches were just loyal to AJ. AJ brought him in, so they're loyal to AJ. If AJ's not going to be there.
Well, you know, Brent Strom was a coach for the Astros in 96.
I did not know that.
He was there in 96, and then I think he went to the, Royals in 2000 and 2001.
Okay.
And then back to the Astros in 2014. So, and of course, guys like Lance McCullers just gush
over Prince Strong. As well he should. When you talk about spin rate, no one has the spin rate of Lance McCullers.
Yep.
So, yeah, and Garrett Cole couldn't stop talking about from the analytics to the video department to the scouting to the way that they looked at giving him a totally new perspective on pitching that he just couldn't get enough of. Verlander the same way, because look at the even resurrected Verlander from where he was to where he is now again, getting back to where he once was. They all cannot stop saying enough positive things about Brent Strom.
Yep.
So that's the last thing you could afford to. And again, if you're talking about an Austin Pruitt, a guy that had a high spin rate but was an underachiever that they just traded for, the reason why they went out and got him, sure, it's systematic in saying that we put him in our system, we'll make him better, but the number one reason they're going to make you better, Brent Strom.
Agree.
So another thing that's going to be interesting is now that we knew that Luno's whole goal was starting pitching first, then he'd focus on the bullpen.
Uh-huh.
Now that he's gone, does that change?
Well, I think any GM worth their salt's going to come in and assess, okay, you lose Garrett Cole, you know, the losses that they've taken in the last couple of years could stand to have another starter on this team, a bona fide three or four. And yeah, you've got bullpen
work to
do. But
not a project or a low risk, high reward guy.
It depends. I mean, you know, the scouting department is still around, so you know that there's guys that they've been looking at or that they've seen on other teams that maybe there's probably some whiteboard somewhere with targets.
Oh, there's no doubt there is. You
know, and it's like, that's probably not going to change because it's still a philosophy of the organization, even though those two guys are gone. Now, you may get a GM that comes in and goes, nah, I care about offense. All I care about is bats. Let's get rid of Josh Reddick. Let's go get a young right fielder. Kyle Tucker, we'll trade him. We'll trade Josh Reddick. We're going to get a Cespedes or something like that. Let's do it. So you never know. But I suspect that somebody's going to come in and probably realize that the needs for this team are pretty consistent with what they were before all this took place.
And to your point, you can't bring in a guy that just goes all Bill O'Brien on you and starts going for it in 1 year,
right?
And making desperation.
Well, you don't have the picks
moves
to do that. You just
lost. No, but I'm saying, but like you said, like a guy like Cespedes, who's taken a big pay cut, but
I just threw a name.
Yeah,
out.
It's an interesting name because that's the kind you can't have a GM that goes then plays Riverboat Gambler and goes,
right,
I'm going to get Cespedes. I'm going to give you Tucker.
Right.
Or does something dumb like that either. So that's why Crane has got to really be involved.
That's why I loved Luno, is he was shrewd with the way he did things, and he was still able to improve this team and keep an eye. Jeff Luno always kept 1 foot in the future and 1 foot in the present.
Good point.
And it was it created that balance that allowed this team to be successful now. And then you look and, you know, oh, well, you know, Reddick's leaving and Brantley might be gone, but here comes Jordan and here comes Kyle Tucker. And now you're outfield for the foreseeable future if you pay George, which they will, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I think I read that they're $3 or $4 million apart in arbitration, but that they're getting there. But yeah, you're outfield of Jordan, George, and Kyle Tucker. That's pretty good, and that's young, and that could
and
sustain
here's the
you
other
for
thing
a while.
That Luno,
that was the beauty of Jeff Luno,
had the skill set to do, which was identifying the skill sets of players, whether they're a household name or not. Not just going after a guy because he had a good year or he was a former All-Star. Go out identifying guys that fit the bill to fit their system that they could make better
and value like a Morton.
Yes.
This is a guy that's good, but he could be great. Like Garrett Cole, you know, he's good. He could be great. Charlie Morton was okay. He could be.
But you
really
remember
good.
The day? Because I keep going back to the day they traded for Charlie Morton. You and I both went,
like, what?
Who? And then we looked at the numbers and went, they gave him $14 million for 2 years. They don't even need him.
It looked
and
foolish.
Now you look back and go, he's Charlie effing Morton.
Yeah. And you're like, in Luno, we trust
yes.
because. That was the foresight that he had. So, yeah, it's a big blow. And I hope that whatever manager they get has the same kind of mindset that has been the philosophy of this organization for the last couple of years, because it's proven to be successful.
Yeah, I don't...
And they've become the blueprint in baseball. Let's be real. Even though all the cheating and everything else aside, everybody wanted to be the Astros. Analytics and spin rate and all these other things. Everybody tried to duplicate what the Astros did from a scouting perspective, from a moves perspective, handling the farm system. Jeff Luno and AJ Hinch laid a blueprint.
They were the gold standard.
They laid a blueprint for how to take a franchise to the next level. Forget the cheating, because look, and people are always going to say that. Oh yeah, they laid the groundwork because they cheated. The players cheated. That's the thing that gets lost in all this. It was the players that cheated and came up with this, and they're the ones that got off scot-free.
Well,
it cost Jeff Luno.
Not just the players, because they're saying that the people under their watch. So Cora is part of that. But
Alex Cora was heavily involved.
Right.
Carlos Beltran heavily involved. I told you that somebody said that the thing, Correa might have been pretty heavily involved. You talked about the video of Bregman and those guys. So, I don't think that AJ Hinch was like, Jeff, we got to cheat.
I don't believe
that for a second.
He loves he's too much about the integrity of the game, too. I can't see AJ being the mastermind or even heavily
AJ's
involved
one
in all
of those
of
guys that was like, guys, don't do that. And they're doing it. And he's like, oh, I mean, you know, he's not going to he's going to tell him to stop, but he's not going to go above and beyond because he's a player's manager.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We got to.
So sad.
Boy, time is flying by. Another
this
show.
A fast show.
Lots of content to get to. So it makes it a lot easier. One segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it next, then turn it over to Fred, AJ, Aaron, The Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back final segment. Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, Joel on a Tuesday in the big city. Way back Wednesday. We'll figure it out. It's gotten to that point. So normally
Nick will come through in the clutch. He'll come
up
with
something. Are we talking about way back Wednesday?
Yeah. You'll come up with something, I'm sure, at 11:58 tomorrow.
Let's come up with something right now.
Clutch City Nikki. Gonna come up with a big
one. That's right.
A kiss of death.
We're not gonna do cheating.
No, we've done that
before. I don't think we should either.
We've done that before, right?
Definitely not cheating. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I don't think we need to come up with it now.
So once upon a time in Iowa, Barry, because you told me we are Florida stories are off limits. They're too easy.
Yes.
Too many.
Cliche.
People in other shows seem to.
It's cliche.
Dwell
it's
on
a radio
much.
Cliche nationwide.
Okay. Story dated January the 13th in Iowa.
Okay.
I think we've all been there before. I don't know. Have you seen the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, but it's on my list. I really want to see
it. It's very good. Yes. Brad Pitt up for all the awards circuit.
I did watch
Quentin Tarantino up for all the different screenplay and director and all that. So in Iowa,
I'm assuming there's a scene with feet in it because it's a Tarantino movie.
And he makes a cameo. Aren't those his things?
He's always in the movie and he always shows somebody's feet. That's the big Tarantino thing. He's
old got girls that's
notorious.
In the movies.
Is she? Who is it? Let's see her. Let's see what her feet look like. What's her
name?
Margot Robbie. Robbie? Is it Robbie or Roby?
Well, here we go again. Pronunciations
Margot
are always going to be a deal on this.
So I bet
show.
She's got weird feet
taking
or something.
Me off.
Huh? Oh, what? Roby?
Terrania?
Yeah.
Sounded like Adler when you said.
Shams.
Is that Shams? Terrania?
He's hammering Shams.
Every time I say a name, you say I'm hammering it. Pisses me off. I'll give you $13 to go get hit in traffic. Bam! Hood ornament.
My
kiss
God.
My ass.
I'll give you $13 to go get hit in traffic. Was great. Okay. I don't know how to judge feet, but I'm out on that.
On Margot Robbie?
Isn't Holly the resident?
Isn't she pretty?
Feet inspector.
I don't know. Well, I guess they're not that bad. There's nothing wrong with them.
But Margot Robbie's hot.
Yeah, she is hot. Oh, no.
That's
no,
all I'm
doubt,
talking about.
No doubt she's hot. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So as the story goes, though, an Iowa yoga instructor, allegedly pummeled a fellow moviegoer who was using their phone during a showing of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and was responsible for ruining the film for the guy who was delivering the blows. Got finally so fed up with the guy on his phone, just opened up, let him have it. I'm like, I've been there.
Yeah.
I think we all have been there.
No doubt.
There's no doubt, no matter how many times during the previews, you get that whole little stupid cartoonish thing or otherwise acted out scene where they go, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Silence your phone. And then you got the jackass in front of you that's constantly checking text messages or it's ringing.
That's Nick.
Or it's, you know, got to send this tweet right now, guy. And the light is distracting.
You're on the phone, guy, aren't you, Nick? In a movie? You're on your phone.
No.
You're checking Twitter. You're checking to see if something you tweeted got a like. I know that's you.
No, I don't think so.
No?
But I don't really go, like, at the cinema movie or, like, in the house?
No, at the movie theater.
Ah, man. I haven't been in a movie theater in forever, so.
Really?
I rarely go.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of movies.
No, wait a minute. And so here's part of the deal, right?
Okay.
So if this is happening, you're going to, at a certain point, you're just going to be pressed to the boiling point of handling it during the movie, right?
Right.
So as the story goes, according to the criminal complaint, the show hadn't even started yet. They were in the previews when the yoga instructor contacted theater staff and demanded that they speak to the guy about using his phone. Workers recalled that he said that they either would take care of it or he will. He
boy,
then
when a
waited.
Yoga guy threatens you, boy, be worried.
I'm telling you. Not even if you don't know he's
those
a yoga
yogis,
guy.
Those yogis are mean, boy. They're going to tie you up like
his
a pretzel.
His flexibility alone should tell you he's a yoga instructor, even if he didn't even speak to you. But at the end of he waited till the end of the movie in which he then confronted the guy with the phone, to which the guy with the phone apologized. But before he could even react, the yoga instructor started punching him in the face.
Wow. When did yogis get so aggressive?
I was going to say, how in the world are we talking about a yoga instructor in Iowa going off the deep end like
I didn't even
this?
Know. I thought it was against the law to do yoga in Iowa. Is that not? I feel like that would be like a state law, right? And we're not going to have none of this mamby-pamby yoga going on over here in Iowa.
During the fight, the yoga instructor ended up standing up, the victim on the ground. He wasn't done. He kept kicking him until the victim suffered a cut to his head, swelling, soreness, redness to his face, and had his eyeglasses broken from the initial punches.
Wow. That's a...
The yoga instructor is 6 foot, 230 pounds.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know about the flexibility. Yeah,
does he look like a? Does he look like a mean guy? He looks like Harry Potter's fat uncle.
He looks like someone who's trolling the internet.
Yeah. He does. He looks like he's done some things he doesn't want to talk about in his basement. He does look. But that doesn't look like he would do yoga. Because I'm thinking man bun. Like a unitard or something like that. I'm thinking.
So I'll tweet this at Pac-Man Joel.
If I got beat up by a yogi, I'm not telling nobody. I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't count on me to come to work on a Monday and be like, yo, I got my ass whooped by some dude that does yoga. That's not happening. We've already discussed on this show not doing yoga.
In his online Q&A posted to his website for Iowa Pilates and his studio, he described himself as fiercely loyal, flexible, and a freedom lover. He loved yoga due to the healing power. And then he decided to take out his aggressions on a moviegoer because of the phone.
So much for peace and love, right?
Man.
Somebody said a yoga instructor in Iowa, that's witness protection.
Who's most likely to do yoga on the station?
Raheel.
Patrick Creighton, for sure.
What?
Raheel, for sure. Raheel is definitely.
Yeah, Raheel is definitely doing yoga.
Oh, Patrick Creighton? Without a doubt.
Well, I was just being funny there, but Raheel definitely would probably be the one guy on 97.5 that I think does or would do yoga.
Without a doubt. No argument.
Yeah, I think that's probably it, right?
Charlie, if yoga was around when Charlie was younger.
Yoga. Charlie's wearing a unitard.
Charlie is doing jazzercise. Charlie's not doing yoga. Charlie's a jazzercise
guy. Leg warmers optional?
Yeah, he's got those big Skechers, you know, like the ones the old Hooters waitresses wore, those shoes. Yeah. The big white ones with the leg warmers.
That was back in the day, yeah.
Charlie's definitely doing jazzercise.
Well, Charlie's world is not. There's no back in the day. Everything's in play.
Yeah, Fred and AJ aren't doing yoga. We're not doing yoga.
No.
Granado's not. Lance isn't.
Dell's not.
Has to be Raheel.
I think.
And I'm not saying
second,
he does it. He would maybe.
Right.
Try.
I think second would be Lance. I think LZ would do yoga. Okay. I definitely think so. He would. If anybody else at this station was going to do yoga besides Raheel,
Fred,
no way.
I think so.
No way.
You don't?
No.
I think Fred would do hot yoga.
Fred could not do yoga, sir.
Why?
I love Fred Fowler, one of the best in the business.
Could not do yoga.
I think not that he could or not. I think he would. Think about it. After a night of drinking, what better way to get the toxins out to sweat them out?
That would be a disaster.
So many things would break and be pulled. And right. Yeah, not, no.
We love you, Fred Fowler.
Not happening.
Two of you don't believe in Fred Fowler, and I do. All right, there you go. With that.
I think third would be Joel, though. You do yoga.
I've had people try to talk me into trying it.
You're not doing it?
I'm not doing it.
I'm with you.
All right, that'll do it for us on a Tuesday. Way back Wednesday tomorrow. We'll figure it out, and then so will you. In the meantime, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.